nice machshava connected to Parsha Shlach. We all know there's a famous Rashi in the beginning of Shlach, Maimer Chazal, about the juxtaposition between the story of Miriam's Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of Parshas Baloscha and the mission of the Meraglim, which of course led to such disaster as described in Parsha Shlach. Lama nismacha Parshas Meraglim with Parshas Miriam. It says Rashi, Lefisha Loksa Aliske Diba Shedibra Be'achiha. She was struck by Tzaras. She suffered such terrible Yisurim because of her Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. Ushoim Halalu Ra'u B'Golakum Musar. And here, look at the Meraglim, 10 of the 12. They saw what happened to Miriam and they didn't take it to heart. This is the statement of Rashi. So the first observation I just want to make, this is Rav Yeruchim in Das Torah, says something just very pashut to take to heart in general in life. He says, what you see here in this Chazal is that separate from the Avera of the Meraglim, how they came back and spoke Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, we'll see what that means exactly. But they're also held to account that they didn't learn from what happened to Miriam. And that's what Chochmas HaMusar means. Because when you see something around you, when you hear something, you have to internalize it. There has to be some way to take it to heart, to make it relevant to you. Anything that you hear about that could make you a better person, Yishma Chacham Yosef Lekach. It's a simple idea. You see this happening, it has to change you. It has to improve you. It has to be a lesson for life. Nothing should just be, well, you know, you see this, you hear this, Zell, you move on, interesting, how sad. No. It has to become lemaisa. That's the first inyan that he brings out. But of course, the obvious question that is asked by so many is, how can one compare the Lashon Hara of Miriam against Moshe Rabbeinu, a human being, her brother, where she equated him with Shaar Nevi'im, and okay, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Makbid, but you're speaking about a human being. Eretz Yisrael is land. They focused on negative aspects of Eretz Yisrael. They said, we can't fight those battles, they're too strong, we won't succeed. They badmouthed the land, Eretz Achof Yosha, true. But how can you compare that to Lashon Hara against a person? So obviously, you can start mitigating the question a little bit. Well, Moshe wasn't Makbid, so he was like a domain. He didn't have feelings, he didn't feel anything, so it's really not such a dissimilar situation. Okay, you can certainly start by doing that. But I would push in the other direction. Instead of trying to reduce Moshe Rabbeinu to be like Eretz Yisrael, I'd rather speak about the Ma'ala of Eretz Yisrael and say, you know what? Eretz Yisrael, kiviyachol, has feelings too. What do I mean by that? So, Chaim Shmulevitz has a powerful idea. He has a maimar in the Sichus Musar called Ma'alas Eretz Yisrael. And quotes, for example, he starts with the Rashi of Pashas Devarim, Ad Hanar HaGodo Nahar Peras. Why is Nahar Peras a phrase called Nahar HaGadol? Because it's associated with Eretz Yisrael. Any association with Eretz Yisrael is already associated with greatness. Malas Eretz Yisrael. And he goes on, he says, we just have to wonder about ourselves. We are living in Eretz Yisrael, he's speaking to his Shiva, and we don't realize what the hashpah that we get from Eretz Yisrael. And he brings the following chazal. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Yosef's bones got to Eretz Yisrael, and I am not buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Hashem responds as follows: Mi shahoda ba'artso nikbar ba'artso, mi shelo hoda ba'artso lo nikbar ba'artso. The one who acknowledges his land gets his chus being buried in Eretz Yisrael. The one who did not acknowledge lo nikbar. Well, how so? Yosef hoda ba'artso. The Eshes Potiphar said, "U hevi lanu ish ivri." She labels him an ish ivri. The lo kafar, he didn't try to hide his identity that he came from Eretz Ivrim. After all, he said, "Ki gunov gunavti me Eretz Ivrim." He said this to the Sarah Mashkim. He referred to himself as coming from Eretz Ivrim, proudly so, and he was ochet to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ata Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo hadisa ba'artzacha." Therefore, Eretz Nikba Ba'artzacha, Ketzad. Benos Yisro referred to Moshe, Ish Mitzri Yitzianu Miyad Haroim. I guess it came back to Moshe Rabbeinu that they said that. They called him Ish Mitzri. Hu Shamea B'Shosek. He didn't correct them. He didn't Ish Mitzri. What does it mean? They called him Ish Mitzvi, means they were denying his yadus. But that doesn't seem to be a taina Moshe Rabbeinu. They call him Ish Mitzvi, I'm not Ish Mitzvi. Why? Because Mistama, it could be a sakana if he'd be known. He was a fugitive. He couldn't. So why do we say the fact that he was lo choda be'artso by being quiet is enough to why he wasn't buried in Eretz Yisrael? If you could justify not feeling proud about his yichus per se, because he's pikuach nefesh or whatever it is, so the fact that he didn't correct them about the fact that he's not connected to Eretz Yisrael, his ish mitzvi, his roots are in Yisraelim, why would that be held against him? And the answer is that this inyan of Misha lo hoda ba'artso, lo nikba ba'artso, is not an onesh. If it's about an onesh, then you have enough to root it. Rather, it's a mitzius. It's a mitzius. Kosh ena moda be'eretz, ena shayach ha'aretz. Whatever reasons you'll say, but l'maisa, the land does not want you. You're mois in the land. If you're not acknowledging your connection to Eretz Yisrael doesn't stand up for you. And that's, he says, that's what we need to work on, he says. That we feel, we're moda ba'aretz, we're makir the mile of Eretz Yisrael. And through that hargasha, you're entering into the hashpah that Eretz Yisrael can do for us. It's an unbelievable idea. And the Yeruchim as well, in a later part of the parasha, he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim that refers to the Chet HaMeraglim, and the Yivashin HaPasuk there is in Vayimas Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. That's the Lashon HaPasuk. Vayimas Kuf Vav Tilm Kuf Vav Pasuk Chav Dalet. The Shorish HaChet of the Meraglim is described in that Kapitul Tehillim. Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda, and because of that there was a gzeira made by Yisrael Yodolem L'hapil Osam Bamidbar L'hapil Osam Zaharim Bagoyim L'hapil Osam Ba'aratzos Sukim later. The chet was in the soul of Eretz Yisrael. If they turned their back on the Matana Tov of Eretz Yisrael, then the Metzius was that they couldn't be zochen out to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why you had the golus throughout the ages, because of Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. So Eretz Yisrael is not just a hechatimsa, you could say, for us to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with mitzvahs, but it's also something that has a mitzias. There's a mitzias to this. And you have to acknowledge what Eretz Yisrael is and that potential, but mitzad Eretz, it's Eretz Yisrael itself. Being modeh ba'aretz as opposed to not being modeh ba'aretz. And I think in a lot of this yisod of Chaim Shmuel Eretz and Rabbi Yeruchim, I think we understand better the Pshat and the Rashi. How can you equate the Meraglim's chait, speaking against Eretz Yisrael, with Miriam's chait, or speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. Eretz Yisrael is just a land, right? So on the one hand, you could say Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't makpid either. He was just under me. Oh, yes, that's part of the answer. But maybe the other half of the answer is Eretz Yisrael is not just a land. Eretz Yisrael is a mitzius. And in the same way that you don't speak about a person, you don't speak about Eretz Yisrael in a disrespectful way, because to the extent that you do, then you lack that connection to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael cannot embrace you. It's a mitzvah, Hashem put it into the world. It's important to think about this, because it's very easy, you know, to get caught up in things which are really extrinsic to the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, especially in light of current events, where there's a lot of hack now about, you know, the politics and the new government and the new coalition. Will it last? Will it not last? And it's very strange. And the chuli, it's very, it makes for good conversations. And Kosh Baruch only knows, you know, if it'll be, how it will be working out for good. Hopefully, everything is going to be for good in Eretz Yisrael. But the real connection to Eretz Yisrael is not about the politics and all the articles that are going to be written and all the op-eds. But the real connection to Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael as our land. And our connection to Eretz Yisrael is completely on a whole different level. And the takeaway from Parshas Shlach has to be whether we are now in Eretz Yisrael, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we hope to return to Eretz Yisrael, but the feeling that each one of us should have toward Eretz Yisrael, they say stories even in the early times when the Yishuv was being settled and someone would come back to report to this gadol, that gadol about things and hardships, they wouldn't want to hear about it. Like, don't tell me, I don't want to hear negative things about Eretz Yisrael. It's like a sensitivity. Of course the things were hard. Of course, Niknas had the Yisurim. Of course there are challenges. But the idea, the approach should be to think in Eretz Yisrael only positive ways. Sometimes hard, because of course the people sometimes who are the ones who are in politics are not always the ones who reflect what Eretz Yisrael real ultimately is and what it represents. And we hope because Baruch Hu should give them the wisdom, of course, to be the shluchim for good things, for the people who live in Eretz Yisrael and for Kal Yisrael as a whole. But ultimately, our connection is much deeper than all of that, and I think that's why we could appreciate the takeaway from this Rashi. Okay. Good Shabbos.